This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. Today, I'm going to continue on in my series on resilience. We've been looking at some characteristics of resilience from Dr. Frederick Flack, and today we're going to look at the cluster of characteristics that have to do with mutual interdependence. But before we go on to that, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Did you discover any resilient family members in your research from last week? Can you do anything about that? By that, I mean maybe a letter or an email back to Aunt Sally or Uncle Fred asking them to describe to you how they got through some particularly difficult times. I think they would appreciate telling your stories, and they would appreciate feeling like somebody cares. And I think it will also give you some fairly good strategies if they managed past problems well. And of course, remember in the series, Dr. Flack says the pluses and minuses of life both are, not can be, sources of our strength and resilience. Have any new insights come to you about this concept? I've been thinking that this whole resilience concept gives me a framework around which I can continue to evaluate how I'm doing. I'm also very interested in the idea of what I call the slow return. In other words, I don't need to feel like I have to bounce back immediately, and sometimes I need to give myself permission to take it easy. I think of just this week. My father, who is quite elderly and who you learned about last week, had to go into the hospital. And in getting him into the hospital, I had to spend more than a day in going around to different doctor's offices, getting test results, coordinating, and then he was in the hospital a couple of days, had some tests, and ended up being able to be released and is doing much better. But I was amazed at how mentally, emotionally, and physically exhausted I was. This whole experience just literally sucked my energy right out of me. And I was very frustrated with that because I wanted to finish my radio programs. I wanted to do many other things I needed to do, and yet I was too tired to do it. I couldn't concentrate. Then I stopped and I said to myself, wait a minute. What's going on? My body is just reacting to this whole process, and I need to give it some grace, so to speak. So I literally vegged out in the evenings instead of running and running and continuing. Now, that may not sound like a big deal, but for me, I learned that how I manage the difficult times in resilience has a great deal to do with the recovery that I have. And today, I'm kind of back to my old self, working hard and feeling productive. In today's program, we're talking about mutual interdependence. What in the world is that? Well, I admit that's kind of a hard title or label, but I couldn't really come up with anything better. What I mean by it is that mutual interdependence is the ability to rely on yourself and on others. It's sort of not an either or, but it's a both and. It's kind of obvious, I suppose. But think about it. We often see people that are loners. They can only do things by themselves. They don't want the input of others. We also see people who are extremely dependent on others. They can't make their own decisions. Well, resilience, Flack believes, has a lot to do with the ability to be autonomous as well as the ability to rely on others. There are three characteristics that he uses to identify this concept. First of all is independent and can rely on others. The second is the ability to give and take in human interactions. And the third is a well-established network of friends. And these three together, I think, give us this characteristic, which I call mutual interdependence. Let's look at them individually. First of all is independent and can rely on others. How do you relax? After your big day, how do you typically power down, so to speak? Secondly, how do you make decisions? How do you decide what's the next thing you should do? As I look at that, often I relax or I've learned to relax in ways that I don't particularly care for upon further review. I just chill out, I don't talk a lot, and I will admit that I spend a fair amount of time just sitting passively in front of the television more than I wish, and I do need to work on that. But what I've noticed is as my wife and I have gotten older and the kids have left, there is more time where we're together by ourselves. And when there was always something to do or when she has papers to correct or something from school during the day and she's doing that at night, I found I developed a nasty habit of retreating and just flipping through the channels. During the school year, it may not be a big deal. But now as we sort of enter this empty nest phase of our lives, especially during the summer, it's becoming more of a problem to me. And I'm aware that I'm not as present as I need to be for her. Now, school is going to end in a few weeks, and we've got a wonderful chance to deal with this. I'm realizing that I can do a great job at being independent, and while I can rely on others, it's not my normally strong suit. It's not something I would normally reach into and get involved with. I need to work on that, not only for myself, but for her. Mutual interdependence is a two-way street. The second point is the ability to give and take in human interactions. What sorts of feelings strike you when you're working on something with your friends and then after? Are you under stress? Do you feel guilt, anger, frustration, or doubt? I think those kinds of follow-up responses to human interactions give us a window into maybe what may be going on inside of our lives. I find that I get very stimulated when I'm involved with people, particularly if we're talking about some new idea or vision, sometimes even just about the weather or sports. So I think while my learned behavior is moving towards more independence or autonomy, there's still a lot of energizing that occurs when I interact. The second part of give and take is the ability to give and the ability to take. How do you do on both of those? Sometimes I find that if I have a lot of ownership and ideas, I get really defensive when people attack them, or at least I perceive them as attacking them. But other times I notice that I can handle the tension of discourse and dialogue. I'm not sure I know completely in my own life about how this works out, but I think that's a good question for us to work on. As you involve yourself in the give and take, what are your most often felt feelings in response to that, and how do you make a difference and a change? The third characteristic is a well-established network of friends. You know what I'm discovering in this communicational age? I have a whole lot more friends on almost every continent of the world that I communicate with more regularly than I have friends locally. I don't think that's bad in one way, but in another way, I'm troubled by that because I don't care how good an email can be or a telephone conversation can be. There is something about physical presence that I think has an enriching aspect on our lives. So I'm going to have to monitor that, and I think we all need to monitor that. If you're getting all your intimacy needs met in terms of closeness with other people electronically, then I think you're getting out of balance. Or I should say that I think I'm getting out of balance. Many of my friends I see only once or twice a year. Some of them I only see every few years. Most of my friends I see in a work context at conferences. I would evaluate all of them as being quite close, and most of them I would not have a problem sharing most anything with, and that's a good thing. But if I don't have people that I can physically be present with, I think I do need to work on that as well. This discussion reminds us, I think, that there are a few different levels of friendship. The intimate people, those you can be really close with. Supportive friends who kind of say, yay, you go for it. And then I think there are challenge friends. Friends that aren't afraid or you've given them permission to confront you on various things. Well, today we've looked at three issues. What do you need to work on? How you can do this where you are living is the big question that comes to my mind and one I revisit all the time. As you look at the independence, the ability to manage give and take, and well-established networks of friends, how are you doing with your local friendships? I've discovered through preparing this program that I have a fair bit of work to do here. I'm not hurting about it, but I do know that if I want to keep going for the long haul, I'm going to have to seek balance. Next week, we're going to talk about finding local resilience resources. I hope you'll join me. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further, We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.